have this show recorded a few days ago, but it's as hot off the press as it possibly can be. All right, guest number one then on this special edition of The Unexplained, Fevzi Turkalp in North London. I'm in South London. You're in North London. How are you, Fevzi?
I'm good, thank you.
And really good of you to be able to do this, Fevzi. Want to talk about technology, and I wonder if you can first of all then just give me a little update from what you know, if you can, about this enormous United States hack which has affected so many government departments in the US, the finger being pointed at Russia, and it appears, as we're talking about it now, that the scale of it could be even bigger than we thought.
Yeah, it looks like it's huge, because it seems as though this hack has been in place and systems have been compromised across U.S. government departments since the spring. With COVID came this hack as well, possibly even longer in some areas. Now, it's interesting because the government is saying very little about it. It's not clear. I suspect, first of all, they're highly embarrassed. And secondly, they don't want to talk about it. And thirdly, I don't think they fully understand how wide and deep this hack has been. And I don't think that they will fully know this for months and possibly even years. Add to that the fact that Donald Trump doesn't want to admit it's the Russians, kind of makes it hard to move that narrative forward. In any event, he was suggesting it was the Chinese. But the rest of his administration seems to be fixed on the Russians for this one. Quite interesting. I mean, it just makes you think that they possibly knew that Trump was on his way out and that their source of information may be waning, and therefore they'd go in and grab it for themselves before competent management took over. But very, very, very difficult. But I think from what we can see, unprecedented in terms of its breadth and the penetration of the attack in each of these areas. It is essentially an act of war.
And this is the way that warfare will be practiced in future. It's not going to be troops on the battlefield. It's going to be cyber war.
Yeah, because the thing about it is that when you're attacked conventionally, it's fairly easy to work out and be certain who attacked you. You know, if you have an army ahead of you or ICBMs on their way, then you kind of know where they came from. But with a cyber attack, it is possible first of all, they didn't know they'd been attacked for about 9 months, so that's different from conventional warfare. And then the certainty of knowing how badly you've been attacked and who did it makes it difficult to retaliate. So it's a form of asymmetric warfare. The Russians, I don't think, could win a conventional war against America, but they've been waging a different type of war for quite some time now, it seems.
And how do you think, just before we move off this, you know, people read about these attacks in the newspapers, we're getting reports of the scale of this increasing all the time, but how do you think this may impact the lives of ordinary people in the United States and around the world?
It's interesting. I mean, it depends exactly what they've done, but it makes them and us as allies of America less safe. Our secrets are known. The whole point of having sort of a military is to defend yourself, and now we are less able to defend ourselves against foreign incursions. And if a war were to break out, it depends. Your missiles may not fire. Your early warning system may not work. I mean, Trump has already dismantled the eye in the sky anyway. As one of his leaving presents to us for Christmas, he dismantled the AWACS aircraft that were providing telemetry to not only to America but to all of America's allies. He's brought those planes down and dismantled them just to make sure that Biden can't bring them back into service anytime soon. So we're less secure. So insofar as you think that, you know, we need the military and that we need to be able to have an offensive and a defensive capability, both of those have been compromised now.
Right. And as you say, the full extent of this is going to take months to find out, but it's very disturbing. And I presume all kinds of efforts that we won't get to hear about are being made to try and make systems there more secure now.
Yeah, and that's the really big thing, because, of course, the Americans, who are largely the victims of this attack, thought that they were secure, or as secure as one can be. Now they've realized that actually there were gaping holes in their security and they were not secure at all. And that's the problem with all of these things, is that, you know, you think you've got secure systems in place, you act accordingly. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, when you look at how the Israelis have gone, and the Russians to some extent, they've gone back away from technology. There are departments in the Kremlin that use typewriters. There are computers in Israel where they have air gaps. They don't connect them to any network.
Right, and that is what we've been talking about for years, where the internet becomes so insecure that you just can't use it anymore.
Yeah, any network which allows communication can allow unwelcome communication as well. It's impossible to completely secure a network. But even, you know, even if you sit in a room with a typewriter, if that room is bugged, it is possible from the slight differences that each key on the typewriter makes and the time between each key press and therefore the potential distance between finger and thing. It's possible for an artificial intelligence program to work out what's being typed.
You know? So, and, you know, there is no such thing, as they say, as total security. I want to move on now because the minutes that we have together are limited. This, of course, has been a unique year for so many people. Of course, it's been a year of terrible suffering for a lot of people, which they will be thinking about, I'm sure, across this holiday. Everybody's been impacted by COVID. I am currently working out of home and have learned an awful lot about that. At the moment, you're on your iPhone, so we depend on technology. So I guess the question that I want to ask you, and it's one that we can be thinking around in these minutes, isn't it? How has technology assisted us through COVID? Do you think?
It's interesting. I mean, on a personal basis, it is the rise of video calling, isn't it? The rise of organizations and products like Zoom, FaceTime, Skype, all of these sorts of products that were always there. But I mean, Zoom was primarily used in the business community. It wasn't used by individuals particularly. The ability for us to keep in touch with loved ones who are physically remote, the ability to see people when they're in hospital and we're not allowed to go and visit them. I mean, it's by no means a cure, but it is some solace, the fact that we can see people and we feel slightly less alone as a result of that. I guess the other thing is that we saw a unique example of two rivals, Apple and Google, working together to give rise to changes to their operating systems, the iOS and Android operating systems. They built into their operating systems the fundamentals of track and trace technology so that we could see how far one phone was from another, and that countries like our own and many other can use that underlying software built into the OS, the operating system, to build track and trace applications. And track and trace, if combined with a testing regimen that is adequate, will save lives. And I would still, notwithstanding concerns about privacy, I would say that people should download the track and trace app in their own home territory and use it, because it literally does save lives, and it's essential to do that.
And it may take longer for it all to become established, but that's something that we probably all have to get used to in the future, even if it means ceding a small amount of privacy, but then everything seems to. Now, all right, let's get into this, because, like I say, the minutes tick down, but this is important. As we look into 2021, and I can't even believe I'm reading that number now, because it still sounds to me, I don't know about you, Febzy, like science fiction. I would have thought that people developing technology, developing new computer chips and processors and all of the panoply of things that are involved in technology, I would have thought that all of that had been hobbled during the year of 2020 and not much development is going on. Am I wrong?
Development was slowed, and we saw that, for example, with Apple, who had, like clockwork, released new iPhones in the autumn. Was delayed by two or three months, and that's for an organization like Apple, which is extremely well organized. I would say that I think most organizations have now adapted to this new way of working, to having staff working remotely and how they're to be organized, and I think that fewer products will now be delayed. I also think that we'll see some changes in the products that are released. So, for example, Apple had done away with Touch ID, the fingerprint reader on its iPhone devices, and instead had done Face ID. Now, Face ID doesn't really work when you're wearing a mask, so it looks like Touch ID will make a comeback, as well as Face ID remaining there. So I think we'll see some subtle and not so subtle changes in the products. I noticed that the Apple Watch, for example, now notices when I'm washing my hands and starts a timer and says, well done to me when I finish. And it actually tracks how long, I spend washing my hands every day.
Part of me thinks that's a little sinister. I mean, it's all for a good cause, of course, but part of me feels that's a little bit sinister.
If you want to hear sinister, I think it was Singapore, which is using the, you have seen those robot dogs from Boston Dynamics. You see those slightly scary videos on the internet,
yep,
on YouTube. They've been using those Boston Dynamics robot dogs to enforce or encourage social distancing in public places. So this robot dog with a camera and a brain of sorts is going around parks telling people to split up and not walk side by side. And that is dark, because now you've got robots actually instructing people what to do in public places.
Well, you can just imagine how that will go down over here, I think. I think the different mindset in the UK, I don't think people will be having any of that at all. Okay, like I say, thank you for making time for me over this holiday, Febzy. Let's just talk about the technology that we've seen, the things that you've liked, the gadgets that have, put a little smile on your face over this year.
Okay.
Just give me one or two examples of the stuff that's been really cool that we might have missed.
Okay, so not so much really cool, but really useful. A lot of us now having to work from home or do Skyping over the phone or home and whatever, but our computers are a bit in need of an upgrade and we don't necessarily have the money to go and buy them. So RAM, memory and solid state drive devices are now cheap, relatively speaking, and can give your computer a midlife boost. So a 3-4 year old computer can easily have another 2 or 3 years of life. I use a company called Crucial just because it's got this compatibility checker, so it can scan the computer and tell you exactly what upgrades are available for you, and therefore it takes away the problem of knowing what to choose. And if for any reason it doesn't work, compatibility is guaranteed, you get a refund. Next up, there's a company in China called Minis Forum, not well known, but they make these tiny little mini desktop computers, rather like Intel Nooks, smaller than Mac Minis from Apple, and they do them now for less than £300, a fully functional computer with the latest generation Intel processor, sufficient RAM, fast memory, everything in it.
What about the operating system?
Oh, it comes with Windows 10
Pro. Really? Okay.
Yeah, so it's unusual because these things often come either without an operating system or the home edition, and you can put in two types of SSD and a hard drive, so you can take the stuff, and it fits in this little box, which is about 6 or 7 inches square and about 1.5 inches tall. One of them even has a Thunderbolt 3 connector on it, which is a good way of expanding, so I love that. You also know that I love my musical gadgets, and Korg, which has been producing pro-level synthesizers for years, have produced this tiny little kit called the NTS-1. It's a DIY kit. You just do it with a screwdriver. It gives you a synthesizer that sits in the palm of your hand, but is fully featured, and it contains the synthesis technology of their pro-level synthesizers built in. So it works as a synthesizer, pro, and a pro-level effects unit as well. So you've got your reverb and echo and all of that, but at a pro level, and you can pick it up for about £85. And if you're looking for something to spend your Christmas money on, the Korg NT. I bought one of these with my own money, and now I'm tempted to buy a second one. So there we are. And if you have no money, which is understandable,
that's me.
There is a company called Spitfire Audio, which, as you may gather from the name, is a British company. They make samples, recordings of instruments, all sorts of instruments, in particular orchestras as well. There is a version of the BBC Symphony Orchestra that you can normally buy for £49. If you fill out a short form and are prepared to wait 14 days, you can have it for free. And they're at spitfireaudio.com.
Wow. You can be your own composer, Febzy.
Last one, if I may. Mm-hmm. The best Bluetooth speaker under £100, in my opinion, is the Soundcore Motion Plus. It's got four speakers built into it, plus a bass trap in it as well. Can fill a room with sound, normally £100. I've seen it for £75 recently, which is a bargain. And if, like me, you drop it in your bath, which I did, and it was completely submerged, it survives because it's IPX7 rated, which means it will survive 12 hours playback on a single charge. Really good bass for something of that size.
All good. Febzy, I'm glad to know that you're still on it. Now, look, I know that you don't mind being woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a technical query from your listener. So I'm going to put it out there. If anybody has a tech problem that they want a thought about, maybe a potential solution to, how do they begin to approach you?
Come and say hello on Twitter. I'm at Gadget Detective.
Right. Febzy, listen, Happy New Year. Have a wonderful 2021. Let's try and make it better than 2020 was.
Will do. Cheers.
Take care. Febzy Turkalp is the definitive gadget detective.